Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Oh my goodness, happy Easter everyone, and welcome. You are listening to Steele Talk, and I am your host, Geralyn Steele. It is what I love to do, is sit here and talk with you, and we've got a lot to talk about tonight, a lot of great guests for you. I want to thank producers Jimmy Erickson and Jonathan Lowe, who is also our in-studio producer tonight. Hey Jonathan, how you be?
Good evening, happy Easter to you.
Happy Easter, man. Okay, final score. Twins won, man. They won today. 8-2. And I was very happy about that. What did you think?
It's a good start to the season. You go on the road to one of your rivals, your biggest rivals, and you win 2 out of 3 to start the season. It's a good start.
Oh, did you go and pray for them today?
No.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, Jonathan, I appreciate your honesty, honey. I do. Now, they play in Detroit tomorrow. 11:30 a.m. is the pregame, 12:10 first pitch. And also, don't forget about the Timberwolves, who will host Sacramento tomorrow night, 5:30 pregame show on WCCO radio. So you don't want to miss that. Okay, so, Jonathan, there is so much going on right now. First of all, I have to just speak on Easter for a moment. I haven't been to church for Easter, or what they call Resurrection Sunday, in years. It has truly been years. And so I really tried to pay attention today and really be thoughtful about Easter. I remember as a girl, as a child, that I had to memorize a scripture at church on Easter Sunday. And then we had to, if there was a play, we had to memorize the script. And there were songs that we had to sing in the Sunshine Band Choir. You know, those were the little ones between the age of like 4 and 7, I think, 7 or 8. So I remember that so clearly and how much I loved doing it. I wasn't afraid to do it. I wasn't, you know, worried about whether or not I would remember my lines. I just figured this is what I'm supposed to do. I better do it. And man, did I have a great time doing that. Did you ever grow up going to Catholic Church or trying to be a part of Easter Sunday? And if so, what do you remember?
Again, I am not Catholic.
No. Oh, you're not.
No.
You have told me that before in the last 20 years. My goodness.
Yes. No, we did do Easter. We went to either Baptist church or Episcopalian, but I didn't do it every year. But I know, especially when I was really young, when I was, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old and before that, mm-hmm. we would go to church, usually at my grandparents, the church my grandparents went to a lot, and we would do the services. And my memories are kind of scattershot. I'm not the best with memory, but I know we'd go back to my grandparents' house and have Easter dinner, and they'd do the Easter egg hunt and all of that stuff. And mm-hmm. it was just one of those holidays where, just as it continues to be, you know, you show up with your Sunday best. Not even your Sunday best. I'm talking, you know, this is like the top shelf of top shelf tequila, you know, Sunday best, you know, type of thing.
I don't know how alcohol got in there.
I'm trying to give some sort of comparison, because I don't know what you put above. There's Sunday church. And then there's Easter Sunday church.
Church. Yeah, and it was high church, wasn't it?
That you get dressed up for.
Look, it was the most important Sunday, period.
I'll say this.
The whole year.
I'll say this. It's the Oscars of church.
There you go. Nobody got an award, but hey, look, we were bejeweled, and we had on the patent leather shoes and the white tights and the beautiful little girl dresses, and you know, the hair had to be just right, and then we're all Vaseline down looking good. Let me tell you something, we'd all, six of us with our parents, get in the car, right? And we would drive to church, and my father being the Sunday school superintendent, we had so much fun just being around all the other kids and looking at their clothes and their shoes and going, oh, you're adorable. No one was jealous back then, if I remember correctly. I don't remember anyone being jealous of someone having on something better than them or wearing better shoes than them. I mean, I had saddle shoes the whole year until I got patent leather for Easter, man. I was like, oh, this is the deal. But we dressed up, children dressed up, parents dressed up. And today there are still some churches that do some of that. But do you remember all the commercials for Easter that used to come on?
Yes.
For all of the department stores?
There are still, it's not as big now because there aren't as many department stores. But I have seen a couple of those Easter Sunday commercials for a couple of stores. But yes, it's not near the crush of TV time that it was in probably the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s.
You got something with that. And by the way, there were plenty of stores available today, whether it was online, you knew you wanted to order something for your children from another country.
You think about the stores, the retail clothing stores that were open 20, 25, 30 years ago.
Right.
I mean, Sears is basically gone.
Yeah, Montgomery Ward's. I remember that.
Montgomery Ward's is gone.
Yeah.
You have all these stores that you had, all these big time retail outlets that would anchor your shopping malls. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if more than half of them are shuttered. They're gone.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But they're all online. See,
some
that's
of
the
them.
Thing.
Well,
you may not be
them.
Able to walk into the brick and mortar, which is what I prefer, but many, many people prefer to just get
right.
online and get it done.
But okay. Some of them are just done. They're just gone. They do not exist anymore. But I was gonna say one thing that might be really, really cheesy. You said there are no awards. No one gets an award. Isn't our reward salvation?
Oh my God! This man hasn't been to church in 50 years. Okay, that was awesome. I'm gonna write that down. That Jonathan said that today on April 4th, 2021.
I never said
WCCO
I got the award.
Radio.
I yes. never said I got up on stage and made a speech. I'm just saying, isn't that the reward for going to Easter Sunday?
Oh, you better say your prayers tonight. That's all I know. Jonathan Lowe, man, I'm going to move out of the way for your lightning bolt, okay?
That's okay. You're not in the studio. This is the lightning bolt can hit the block and I'll be okay, and everyone else will be okay. It's just going to be me.
Okay. Okay.
Well,
no,
okay, I'll say
understand.
Half the block. We're not going to touch the Grand Hotel next door.
No. This is, we're talking, oh, really? You're going to pick and choose. Now, dear God, just jump over when you send the bolt. Don't hit the Grand. You are funny. You could be a comedian, man. That's funny. But I will say this. I do miss a lot of those stores who had really great service. You know, I went to the bank the other day. I remember, you know, going to the bank for years and you got excellent service. You walked up in the tellers, they knew you, right? They could say, hey, Geraldine, how are your children doing? How are things going with you? Are you still singing, right? They remembered you. You could walk in and see the same people. Now the tellers move so much. You know, and oftentimes there are no tellers. I mean, most of it is just you go to the ATM and you do all your business, right? So I actually had a phone call from my bank that asked me, did you have any questions about your visit the other day? So they must have heard our conversation because the woman I was talking to was trying to tell me, please go to the ATM to take care of a deposit. She kept saying to me three times. She said that to me.
No,
and finally,
I think it's just something that it's just a survey. It's just that when you go make a visit and, you know, now everything is so interconnected online, I get those questions quite a bit. You know, I, from the bank that I go to, the, you know, if I go to specific stores and have to pay with some sort of debit card sometimes
or credit card. No. This happened on the day that I had to ask questions of this teller because this was the third time I was in the drive-thru. And she said to me, why won't you go to the ATM? This is what she said to me. No kindness, no nothing. And I finally lowered my voice and I said, ma'am, I'm trying to make sure that you have a job. That's why I come through the drive-thru. And she went, oh. So now this past weekend, I had one of those incidents at a bank. It wasn't the same one. But this woman had to help another teller because she was so busy. So she took, you know, my deposit. And I tried to explain to her exactly where everything went. Just make sure that this is done. And I appreciate that. And she was so rude to me. And she was like, well, couldn't you have done that before you got here? I mean, this was her attitude. And I went, what is happening to us? We talked about civility months ago, a year ago. And now today we still have to talk about it. Something is wrong with that, Jonathan. Something is wrong with it. And I think all of us should make sure we scream at the top of our lungs or pull our money away from whomever it is in a grocery store or whatever it is to let them know we do not accept your employees doing this to us. Now, most of the time, when I'm shopping or going to the bank, I get these lovely people. It's just beautiful. But then there are those days. And I'll say, are you having a bad day? Oh, no. No, ma'am, I'm trying to help you. I'm not even supposed to be helping you. I'm just trying to help the teller. It was really rude. And I get really tired of that. It's exhausting. So the best thing I can do is calm myself and say to her, what's your name? No answer. I'm sorry. I hit the button. Excuse me, what's your name? Nothing. And finally, I hit the button again, and I waited. I was not moving with all the people behind me. And she finally came on and said, yes, like that. And I said, I'd like your name, please. And when she gave me her name, she gave me her last name only, supposedly. And I finally just said, I don't know why you need to be rude today. I just wanted to make sure I was clear. I didn't feel like I was clear. Well, whatever. That's what she said. And I drove off. You see what I mean? It's ridiculous. Jonathan, are you there?
The reason why I'm silent is because I'm probably not the best person to talk to when it comes to civility. I've had moments where I have not been civil to people. So,
okay.
Yes. Again, I know it's a nice, clear evening outside.
I got you.
But there will be a lightning bolt coming down from the sky unannounced probably in the next hour or so, and it will hit it'll hit South Second Avenue somewhere. So just
I'll be in California.
Fair warning, you know, you might want to stay away.
All right, coming up next, we have Marley Dorsey, who runs Reviving Roots Therapy and Wellness in Uptown. She's joined us before. I'm looking forward to talking to her about this whole thing with Derek Chauvin, this whole trial, how we're feeling about it, and how this whole survivor's guilt has been going on with the virus and so much more. We'll be back in a moment.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Well, a common theme to many of the witnesses during the first week of the trial of Derek Chauvin has been survivor's guilt, wishing they could have done more in that situation, The trauma must be immense for all involved. So how common is trauma like this, and how can it be treated? We're going to find out from Marley Dorsey, who is returning here to WCCO. Welcome back, Marley. Great to have you join us again.
Thanks for having me. It's nice to join you guys as well.
So how are you doing during this pandemic with Reviving Roots Therapy and Wellness in Uptown?
You know, I'm doing well. There's a lot of people who have the need, and so I've been connecting with a good amount of people during this time.
Do you have the need?
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of people, you know, we're all kind of struggling with, you know, the things that have been going on with the pandemic, with the uprisings. I don't know if you know this, but I, like Reviving Roots is located just a few blocks away from George Floyd Square. And so mm-hmm. when that happened, it really hit home for me and a lot of other people that I've been working with. So I've been taking care of myself as well as trying to care for other people. I actually am just coming off a nice break.
Right. A nice break. It has been a wonderful weekend for me as well. And I'm just wondering, are you watching the Chauvin trial?
I have decided not to. I chose not to just because, well, for two reasons, I guess. One, I think it's incredibly stressful. And I think that's a kind of the energy that it would take in order to pay attention to that would take away from my work with my clients. And then the second piece kind of goes along with that is that a lot of my clients are talking about this. And so, you know, I kind of get their perspectives and kind of help them through that already. So I'd rather not have it twice. I'd rather not have that experience twice.
And I'm sure you're starting to hear or at least find out which side of the field are your clients on when it comes to this trial. And that, too, can be very taxing. So I think it's really smart of you to stay away from that right now and just, you know, be about healing for you. But I do need advice. A lot of us need advice to see how do we decide whether to watch or to listen. Because there is a difference that affects me differently. If I watch the trial and I hear the tears and I see the tears and I hear them and watch the prosecutor, you know, going over and over what happened, or, you know, the defense going over and over what has happened, it really wears down on me. So I need advice on, you know, how to watch or should I listen better?
Well, I think it's all kind of depends on you and how you respond. So, you know, I think this is a stressful trial, right? And so stress, it shows itself in the ways that we respond physically and the ways that we kind of respond to things cognitively. And so, you know, if you're stressed, you might notice in your body that there is more tightness, more tension in your shoulders, in your back. You might notice that your heart starts beating faster or your breath gets a little bit more shallow or, you know, there's all these physical responses to stress as well as, you know, these cognitive ones where maybe you have the same thoughts kind of running around in your brain over and over again. Or you notice yourself, you know, feeling very, very strongly. I think a lot of times it's important for us to feel our feelings and to know when, you know, we might be at capacity for where we are. So I think if you just pay attention to your body and notice when it's getting to be maybe a little bit harder to breathe, or when you notice that maybe your shoulders are more tense than usual, then maybe, you know, take a break, because we all respond to, you know, listening and we all respond to seeing things differently. So I guess my advice to you would be to just notice the signs and notice, you know, how those things also affect, you know, your ability to work and to connect with the people that are important to you.
And that is so key right there. Connect with the people instead of the television or the radio. Now, I will say this. I do often listen because I'm driving a lot. And so I listen and I find that I'm not as tense when I'm listening to the trial than I am when I'm watching. So something about that, I mean, I get up and have to leave the room when I'm watching because I can't handle the anxiety. It's like, I don't want that right now in my life. And so literally I leave it in the room and walk away. But in the car, you can't just get up and walk away. You're driving. I feel more relaxed. So I appreciate you telling me about that. I will really pay attention to my shoulders and to my breathing as well, because those are signs of anxiety, right? That's where it lives. That's where it lives. So just being here with you again, knowing that you're doing well, that you're still thriving in your business, just lifts me up. I'm really excited about that. Because the last time we really talked about your business, Reviving Roots Therapy Wellness, and I was so impressed with what you're doing. Are you expanding? I think I asked you that question last time. Have you decided to expand?
I have, and right now I'm kind of in the process of that. I am a part of a fellowship that's funded by the Bush Foundation. It's called the
Innovation
Fellowship.
Yes.
And so... it's really a great program. It's 9 months and it's teaching me about social entrepreneurship. Cause you know, I'm a therapist and I was never really a business person. And so that program has kind of given me an opportunity to learn the business side of, you know, how to create change within communities. And so, yeah, I do have plans to expand. I'm working on my business plan now. And hopefully I'll be able to have yoga teachers, have meditation groups, and also have, like, you know, body workers, all trauma-informed and all culturally appropriate services for people.
Bravo. So happy for you. This is huge. If it comes through, you got to let us know, okay? We'd love to have you back to talk about that because you're one of ours. You attended De La Salle. You went to the University of Minnesota and Boston College. So, hey, bad girl, this is a sister right here that knows what she is doing. So blessings to you and let us know if you're moving forward, okay?
I will, definitely. I appreciate that.
All right. Take care of yourself, Marley. Great to have you on.
You as well.
That is Marley Dorsey of Reviving Roots Therapy. If you want more information, just go to www, of course, revivingrootstherapywellness.com, and you'll get all the information. We're going to take a break and do some weather. You are listening to Steele Talk, and I'm your host, Geraldine Steele, and I'm excited about this half hour because it's all about you. You get a chance to call in and let us know how you're doing. We are here because of you, and we really do care. And I know that we get bogged down with a lot going on in our shows, but please know that this time, right now, is all about you. We're having open phones on the trial for this first week, and if you want to talk about something else, you can do that as well. But we want to know how close... are you paying attention to all of this? Are you not watching it? Are you not listening to it? You just heard me talk to Marley, who is a therapist. And I said to her, I am really stressing out. I notice that when I listen, I do better. So if I'm listening on the radio, great. But if I'm watching it on television, not so great. I tend to really tense up. I have to walk in and out of the room more, and it's very uncomfortable. And I'm so glad I had a chance to ask Marley, the therapist, what she thought about that, right? So are you feeling this way as well? Are you feeling like things are going fairly? Do you feel like it's not fair? I know sometimes we look at police officers and we think, you know, there's no way they're not here to protect and serve. But in certain communities, it's different. I actually had a neighbor about a week ago who came to me and said, I don't know what's going on here in Minneapolis with the police. They want to defund them and they want to do this. I mean, Geraldine, it's so ridiculous. There's a lot of crime over here, you know, and to keep this neighborhood safe, we need them. And I said, I never said we didn't need them. I said, however, I bet you've never looked down the barrel of a gun, a police officer's gun. He goes, no, I haven't. I said, I have. So has my mother. So have some of my siblings. I mean, think about it. So every one of our experiences are so different, so different. So we're going to see something in a different light, right? But it's a beautiful thing for us to be different. It's a beautiful thing that one sees one thing and one sees another thing. if we can talk about it and deal with it. Now, if I'm the only one experiencing it, or it's only people of color that are experiencing it, that's a problem. That's a problem. So as I watch this unfold, my biggest concern is what is going to happen. What will the outcome be? That's where my stress lives right now. And I'm usually completely not stressed. But as this keeps building, I walk away from the television. But in the car, it's on so many different stations, and I choose to listen to it. I need to know what is happening. I find it interesting that I started eating more when the pandemic hit, right? I was just enjoying myself. And then I thought, okay, enough. I'm going to eat salads. And when this trial started, the first thing I wanted to do was grab all the food I shouldn't have. And that's the type of anxiety I have to get rid of, right? We are better. We are better than that. We don't have to hurt ourselves or beat ourselves up. What we have to do is act. And that is what so many of you are doing. You are expressing your concerns. You are telling your stories. You are sharing. You are listening. You are following. Shouldn't we do that? Some say, oh, the protest has been too much. It's just been too much for us. Has it really? Then go back in history and revisit how far we have come. Think about it. Mull it over in your heart. And you can clearly see how we got here today. I can. Now, if you'd like to talk about what the city council is doing, or if you want to talk about our governor and how well things are rolling out for this this vaccine, and if you are excited that now, if you're 16 years old and older, you can possibly get the vaccines. And I'm just telling you, I'm so excited about it. Yet, I am still hearing from different people, you know, a technician here or a lab technician there, or a cousin here or a family member there, who says, no, I'm not ready. I don't know if I'm going to take it. I don't know. It's going to take a few years. So some people scream at people like that and say, you have to take it. That's not going to help them. It's not going to help them. But if you can sit down and tell them your story, how you got to the point of actually taking the vaccine, actually getting it, tell them your story. Tell them that you were apprehensive. Tell them that you too thought, oh my gosh, I don't have to worry about a thing once I get the vaccine. And then you hear about the variant and you go, oh no. I actually had someone say to me the other day, I think that we're all going to have to get a COVID vaccine every year, just like the flu. Oh man, that did not make me feel good. But I'm grateful that the person said that. That's what they were thinking, and they were willing to say it. So tell your truth. Tell what you are feeling about all that is going on. And some of us think, oh, it's too much. I can't handle it. Yes, you can. Many of us can. Some may not be able to, but I have so much faith that we're going to get through this together. We've done it before. Remember 1918? We can do it again. But we have to listen, and we have to follow direction. And that is really hard for us. Now, for me, do I want to get out and have a good time? I'll go to a restaurant and social distance and, you know, sit down and have a glass of wine with friends. Social distanced. I went to Crooner's to see a show, and everything was so social distanced. It was great. You wear your mask, and then when you're eating and you're, you know, having a libation, all of a sudden, yeah, you take off your mask and everything's okay. So I pray that you will make the decision to participate with all the rest of us that are giving it our all to do the best we can for you, for your family. And I believe you will do the best for me and mine. I sure hope so. What's coming up next? In the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to Kaya Hurt. She is a social activism superstar, and she is also a high school teacher. How about that? And she used about 2 vacation days to do a public protest outside of the Chauvin trial this week. Now, I'm concerned about those who go into the fray not knowing what to expect. So there's so much being written about this trial. I do hope that you will glean the truth from it. And some people have to go and just participate because they don't know what else to do. Thank God for you, right? A peaceful protest, I'm all for it. And then there are others who may be angry and want to cause others harm. Let's not forget about them. They're part of this circle too. And I'm trying to deal with that, you know, without screaming. But as I'm in the grocery stores and the pharmacies, you know, like Walgreens or CVS, you know, while I'm in some of these stores, I'm stunned at how people are not talking. When they hit you with the cart and you turn around and go, oh, and you wait for them to say, I'm so sorry. You know, no, nothing, nothing. Or you're so close to someone that you can hear them breathing as you're passing them in these narrow aisles at some of the stores. And they don't look at you. They never even turn to look at you. Or there was one elder man whose eyes just quickly looked at me and he turned his face away from me. Now, if I had made contact with him long enough, I would have said, hello, sir, I hope you're having a great day. What has happened to us? We're so divided. Is it possible to ever come together again? History tells us yes. After the Civil War, we were completely separated, right? During the Civil War, oh my God, 600,000 Americans dead. Before the Civil War, there was talk about how bad it was going to be. Some didn't believe it, others did. Well planned on some sides, well planned battles at times, some not. But we were truly divided. And a whole lot of people died. So here we are once again, at the point where we can make a decision of what we can do about this situation, where we leave the situation erased or at least better than what it was. Right? Where we can actually look at each other and say, hey, we did that. We calmed the storm. Maybe only for a moment, but we calmed the storm. If you'd like to join us, it's 651-989-9226 and 1-866-989-9226 if you're outside the metro area. Just know that all voices are welcome here as long as we are civil. I will not call you out of your name. And I know you won't call me out of mine. Totally unnecessary. But you are welcome to call. 651-989-9226. Let's go over to the phone, and we have Chris in Lakeville giving us a call. Hey, Chris.
How are you doing?
You know what? I think I'm okay.
Well, I'm not.
How about you?
A lifelong resident of Lakeville, and I lived a little while in Wisconsin, but I got into music at an early age, so I got to associate with people of color in bands and whatnot. I've got some friends that are in some pretty upstart bands in the Twin Cities from the 60s and 70s when we could get it on in all the music places. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I wasn't here during the 60s and 70s, but I've heard. I got here in 78, so there you go.
Well, have you ever heard of the band Michael's Mystics?
No.
Check that out with some of your friends, and you will be amazed at how great they were. And they were one of my favorites. And I am an American who is half Danish, a quarter Belgian, and a quarter Norwegian. And I can trace my ancestry back to Scandinavia, six generations. On my dad's side, we've been here three generations. My grandfather came here when he was 14, all alone, couldn't speak English, in an empty cattle boat from Copenhagen. And he made his way to Minnesota. And my family has had a blacksmith shop in Lakeville, Minnesota for 102 years, and it's still running.
Wow, that's amazing. So with all of that history, all of that rich history that you just talked about, how are you feeling about where we are right now as a state? The state of Minnesota.
A lot of it sickens me. I've got two brothers that are, I'd have to call them racist. they want to blame all the troubles that come along on people that are Hispanic or Latino or African-American or anything but white. And it isn't fun having a family that's split like that.
Yeah. I know, and I have some of that in my family, too.
I mean, I believe there's racism that goes both ways. I've got a couple of black friends in Lakeville that I've known since the dance hall days, and they have opened my eyes to a lot of things. And I ran into a guy at the Quick Trip, and this is, I'll try to make it short, but
okay.
We all have to wear masks. I couldn't recognize his voice, but an R or a soul song came on from out of Detroit, like the Four Tops or something. And
mm-hmm.
It was
Motown.
On the speakers, and he was tapping his toes and shaking his head. And I said, "Hey, man, do I know you?" And we took our masks off outside, and by golly, we knew each other. And
how about that?
He's living in an assisted living thing in Lakeville, and we got talking. I said, "Sir, I'll never know what it's like to be black, but yeah. I was one of the first long-haired hippies, peace and love in Lakeville." And
how about that, Lakeville? I have family in Lakeville, Chris. I do. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. I really appreciate your story. What a joy. Thank you again.
Yep.
All right. Let's go over to John in Minneapolis. Hey, John.
Hi. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. What say you?
Good. I'm doing well also. I enjoyed the way you set the whole show up. You're very poised and fair and diplomatic, and I appreciate that.
Thank you.
I don't live too far from 38th in Chicago, so I'm familiar with the geographic area. I've watched, my family has as well, watched the trial, and I'm impressed with the tremendous courage and poise of the witnesses that have appeared on the show. They've been amazing. And I think painful as it is and horrible as the death of George Floyd was, that we can make some progress. So I'm feeling positive or optimistic about the outcome of the trial. I mean, I already know what I think, obviously.
I am so happy to hear that. I'm so very happy to hear that.
And
yeah, we're all hoping for, you know, if there's nothing else, justice. If we could just get to justice, we've got something, right?
Absolutely. And the silver lining of this horrible situation that we're finding our country and in the state is that we're finally willing to step forward, and not just in race relations and try to really do something, but really one of the more pressing problems in our country is economic disparity and poverty, and quit looking at people as less than because they don't have money or things, and make government changes, which I think Joe Biden, I'm surprised. But I'm pleasantly surprised. He's the perfect guy. I would have never realized it for the job at this point in history. And I think he's kind of like a recoming of people from the past. So I see a lot of decency out there, and I know it's unnerving.
That's what I want to hear, John. That's exactly it. You're seeing decency. A lot of us, our eyes are closed. So keep your eyes open and keep saying it. Thank you for calling tonight. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care.
You too. All right, everyone, we're going to take a break and then we'll be back in a moment. Welcome back. You are listening to Steele Talking. I'm your host, Geraldine Steele. It is what I love to do every Sunday night is be here with you. Been doing it for more than 21 years, almost 22 now. So welcome back. Thank you for sticking and staying with us on Sunday nights from 7 to 11 p.m. Well, I haven't heard from a woman just yet. I do appreciate the men who called in, but I haven't heard a female voice when it comes to how painful this is right now when it comes to the first trial, and we're about the first week, and we are about to embark upon the second week. And I'm just wondering how you're doing with all of this. How close attention are you paying to all of it? Has it been fair so far with the trial, the Chauvin trial? Does one side have an advantage? I have to tell you, too, when it comes to Minnesota, I do watch the morning news and the national as well as the local on Sunday mornings early. And I was so excited to see Professor Schultz was on CNN, I believe it was. And you've heard him many times on CCO. And he is a political scientist and so much more. And he's remarkable man, remarkable. And I have so loved having him on a few times. I've had him on my show as well. So we have seen other doctors at the U of M and so many more. But boy, we're starting to see our city council of Minneapolis on some of the national shows. And, you know, what I decided to do was pray for everyone. Pray for everyone who is trying to speak about this case, who is trying to speak about how divided we are. Just hope that they say something that wakes someone up so that they know, hey, it doesn't have to be this bad. We can actually work towards being better. I remember when I was getting a master's degree at St. Catherine's University in St. Paul in leadership and organizational. And I kept saying, asking myself, okay, so leadership is really super important, right? They're at the top of the food chain. So whatever they, you know, send down to everyone else, it's like taking on their value statement or taking on their principles. And it's been really frustrating to see how some of those leaders have crumbled over the last 5 to 10 years. But we are still seeing a light at the end of the tunnel. But with this pandemic, with this trial, with the division of our country, it's a whole nother ball game. It's very frustrating because it feels every day when you wake up, sometimes it feels like we're not moving at all. But let me tell you, we are. When I talk to people that actually will say hello back to me in the stores, they are wonderful. I had one woman stop me and say, oh, I love your pants. Where did you get those from? And we stood there and just, you know, had a little conversation about the pants and where to go get them. Right? Or you'll see a child run around your legs and the child looks up at you and as he's frozen, he's like worried that, you know, he's going to really get in trouble. But then I smile at him and he smiles at me and that's it. He's on his way. It's beautiful. There's so much that's good that's happening around us. But what is not good that is happening around us is very real. And we are living it. This is not something that happened 40 years ago. This is it. So yes, pay attention. Yes, take care of yourself. Make sure that you don't take on the anxiety that is just waiting for you to invite it right into your shoulders, right into your stomach, right into your heart. Because you don't have to do it. I promise you. It's been a pleasure talking to you already. Oh my goodness, 8 o'clock is coming around. And we're going to talk to Kia Hurt. And Kia is a teacher, and she's very involved. She took 2 days of vacation off, and I can't wait to talk to her about what it was like at the protests. We'll see you then.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.